Welcome to another edition of what I call American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner. It's the 14th of December. Yes, it's the 14th of December, and it's a live broadcast in 2005. I was very, very sick for the last few days, and you heard a couple of very good replays. And certainly last night was very good and relevant, a young man who's all about documentation and information. Brett, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm right here, Chris.
There he is, just like he said he would be. Here we see from Vicky, and she's always on top of it, and the demise of the broadcast on the other network is not of me quitting, it's of John giving the show to William. So I did not quit. As I told you before, I would not quit on you listeners. She said on C-SPAN, Bruce Babbitt is talking about his new book, Cities in the Wilderness, A New Vision of Land Use in America. That book is once again entitled Cities in the Wilderness, A New Vision of Land Use in America. He is advocating communist central planning of the entire United States. He just said that in the next 50 years, there will be 150 million immigrating to the U.S. Everything he is saying is straight from the U.N. Communist Agenda 21. And she says, since the communists seem to be running the United States through public-private partnerships, I'm sure he must have inside information on the immigration policies of our country that our members of Congress are too gutless to tell us about. And if they do something that the status quo don't want happening, they will get something like what Sonny Bono probably got, as he was going to reopen the Waco investigations. And Sonny Bono is a distant memory now. Brett, I turn the broadcast over to you tonight. You are together with your directions, and you're all about information and documentation. I'm looking forward to your show here.
Well, that's right, Chris. I don't get my information from quote-unquote conspiracy theory websites. I get everything from websites that back up what they have to say and books that back up what they have to say and historical information. And that's what everybody needs to be doing, and hopefully we can set an example here on American Exposé, and people can follow in our footsteps.
There you go.
Now, kind of what I want to talk about tonight is Balkanization and the Second American Revolution. We've got massive illegal immigration problems in this country, and that's by design. It's through the UN system. And I believe that's part of breaking this country up, and that works into the UN system. We have racial balkanization, and that goes along with our politically correct society harboring that in. We have something like 30 to 40 million illegal immigrants in this country tonight. And it's not about race. It's not about them being brown people. It's about felons breaking into the country and not respecting our laws. And now, Chris, just let me get your thoughts on this. What do you think the American people's reaction would be if five divisions of Chinese troops had to be called in a similar instance of something that happened like what happened down in New Orleans with Katrina? What do you think the American people's response would be?
That's a good question. What was their response with the Mexican troops and the Canadian troops coming in here?
Yeah, exactly. I really don't think that much would be done, and we've got Chinese troops down in Mexico. We've got them, reports of them down at the Panama Canal. We've got Blackwater mercenary forces, Mexican troops, Dutch troops occupying our country while we're off occupying another country in a war of aggression. It just can't be looked at any other way. We've got the documentation. We've got the PNAC documents saying that Saddam was not a threat. He was a useful pretext to get the oil. And this has been one of the aims of the UN system, is to have our troops occupying somebody else and have somebody else occupying us. And now, of course, the example could be bigger. It could be a lot worse, as really any situation probably could be. However, we see this, and we have Henry Kissinger back in what was it, early 90s at the Bilderberg Conference, saying that if a disaster struck the Los Angeles area, then the American people would welcome the UN troops.
Right.
And I'm just wondering if those UN troops one day will be communist red Chinese troops with blue helmets.
They may not ever wear the blue helmets until it's all done, but the point is, I believe others have even stated in Congress that we're just waiting for the next martial law scenario to come down before foreign troops are here big time.
Absolutely, and you see a lot of those yellow ribbons saying support the troops. I see them on a lot of cars in my area.
Yep.
My yellow ribbon says bring them home.
Mm-hmm.
But when and if martial law is installed, as Congress has been talking about and as President Bush has been talking about, it seems like their solution to everything is martial law. With the bird flu, you know, Bush came out and said he wants a responsive and ready military, which is really, in my opinion, code for we're going to install martial law the first chance we get. Now, I wonder how many people are going to be going around saying, well, I still support the troops, when a big tank's rolling down Main Street in their little town. And that's something for everybody to think about.
Yes. Yeah, very good point. As a matter of fact, I guess President Bush doesn't really like our Constitution either.
I was just about to say that. There's an article from Doug Thompson of the Capitol Hill Blue, and President Bush called our Constitution a GD piece of paper. Last Friday is from where this article is from, and we have three different sources tied to this article verifying this, and Doug Thompson has a stellar record on Capitol Hill reporting. So I'm trying to look at the quote in the article here. He says, I don't give a G-damn, Bush retorted to an aide, saying that provisions of the Patriot Act may violate sections of the Constitution, which they absolutely do. The analysis has been done. I'm the president and the commander-in-chief. Do it my way. Chris sounds like a dictator to me.
Well, and this is the way it's been for many decades. The president has been a dictator. And this should not be a shock to most people that are understanding the years of deception that we've lived. I see it all the time with executive orders. And certainly this one of 1998, Implementation of Human Rights Treaties 13107, I covered it the day it happened on the 50th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights on December 10th, 1998. That is such a telling executive order to where we are today, and yet nobody seems to pay attention to it. Sam calls in all the shows and mentions it, and no one seems to care about the executive order dictatorship that we live in today, Brett.
Well, the executive orders in history, George Washington used executive orders to do things like order more ink and paper for the White House. Mm-hmm. They were just orders to his actual personal staff to get him what he needed to do his job. Now they've turned into executive orders to build concentration camps in this country, to usher in martial law, to empower FEMA, to sign powers over to FEMA in case of an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the 10,000 series and the 11,000 series are particularly onerous. I was doing a lot of research on the provisions for FEMA back when Katrina happened. So it's there. The provisions are set in place, and we've got to be vigilant. We've got to find out about this, and we've got to educate people about it, because that's the only way to make sure we get this country back. And frankly, I don't want to get this country back when I'm 70 years old. I want to enjoy this country as a constitutional republic the way it should be. However, I'm not right now. You know what I'm saying, Chris?
Yes, I do. But it's so unique at your young age to be so concerned. And this is why I'm so happy you're around. Most at your age aren't even, and I'll admit it, I was awake back then. I wasn't paying attention I guess it wasn't as progressive as it is now back when I was 22, and that was back in 1972, I believe. And certainly things were very, very upsetting to me with the POWs in Vietnam, the messy Vietnam War, which was designed not to be won. And the POWs, I was always concerned about them, and I was very happy to hear Bobby Garwood found a way to get out in 1979, and he was vilified and victified and court-martialed 4 years later. And think of this man, Bobby Garwood, the only POW, and all he was a PFC, people. And he lives this every day of his life, this disaster of Vietnam that he was part of. He was the driver for General Walt, a Jeep driver for General Walt of the Marine Corps. And he was vilified. He lives this the rest of his days. And that's why we put that prominence of Spite House and Bobby Garwood on the website. It will be there forever as long as that website is in existence. Because here we are in this day and time. We're in another Vietnam in the Middle East. And you don't know who your enemy is. Are they better off because of this in this section of the world? We're setting up military bases over there. It's been told by several over the past few years that World War III will start in the Middle East, and it'll be nuclear. Well, here we have saber-rattling with Iran and Israel. Where is this going to go? You know, where is it going to stop? And where are the American people on all this at this point in time, Brett? You know what I mean?
Well, I was just watching a video the other day of an Australian journalist for an Australian TV station going, I believe he was in Los Angeles or one of the Southern California cities, and he was going around asking people just ridiculous questions about American foreign policy, questions such as how many countries should the U.S. be allowed to invade at once, or are you mad that the president has not used nuclear weapons on Iraq? Now, obviously, to you and me, Chris, we're wide awake, so we know that those questions are ridiculous, and we would say, well, we shouldn't use nuclear weapons on Iraq. You know, we shouldn't be there in the first place. But these people were saying, I'm disappointed that the president hasn't used them yet. We should just turn the entire country into a big glass parking lot, or we should be able to invade all the countries we want. We rule the world. I mean, these are obviously Americans who are marginalized because they're probably not concerned with anything outside their own skull. However, these people have the exact same political power that you and I do, Chris. I mean, we each have one vote, and those people each have one vote. And we're educated, but they're not. You know, they have absolutely no idea what's going on in the wider world. And that's scary to me.
Yeah.
And that's been going on for quite a while. I see it even on my college campus. And college campuses are supposed to be the place where you gain your quote-unquote enlightenment. I don't want to use an Illuminati term by any means, but you see what I'm saying. And I see the exact same thing. I see the exact same sheepishness and falling in line and obeying. And that's what we're taught to do in America. We're taught to obey. It's not what the Founding Fathers wanted. America is all about standing up against tyranny and oppression. It's not about falling in line and doing what you're told. It's about knowing your God-given rights. It's about exercising your God-given rights. It's about not letting government gain too much power over you. There's a document called the Federalist Papers, and I know a whole lot of people haven't read it out there. I have, and that's the overlying theme throughout all of what Hamilton, Madison, and John Jay were writing, is it's so American to stand up against tyranny and oppression, stand up for your family, stand up for your country, stand up for these God-given rights that you've been endowed with. And that's the America I'm fighting for, and I'm sure that's the America you're also fighting for, Chris, and we need to educate people about this.
Yes, it's a privilege to be here. It's not a right, it's a privilege. And at this stage of the situation that we live in today, if we don't fight for that privilege by exposing the deception that we live in today, we really don't deserve that privilege. So this is why you at your young age is so commendable, as most people are engrossed in football right now, and I'm so happy that the Oklahoma Sooners are doing so badly this year, because this place goes crazy when they have a good year.
Oh, it's the same way in my town. This is a really big football town. The stadium here holds 52,000 people, and there's only 60,000 that live in the town. So,
oh, wow.
So there you go. But it's the exact same way, and the team here did poorly. They finished in the back of the Big 12 North. So, but I don't want to talk about football, to be quite honest with you, Chris. I mean,
no.
I think it's a really big deal that President Bush is saying, stop throwing the Constitution in my face. It's just a GD piece of paper. I mean,
yeah.
That's the man who put his hand on the Bible, a sacred document in and of itself, and swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic. And he's saying, stop throwing it in my face. And that says a lot right there about where our country is. And I've seen the neocons out defending him, and I've seen it's just sickening. It makes me want to puke.
I do understand your frustration. And I've had a lifetime of it, too, at my age, and I was just as frustrated back then at your age. And I hope that we have success in getting others educated. We have a caller. Let's see what Dave in Pennsylvania has to say. Welcome to the broadcast, Dave.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I have a question regarding the statement last Friday by Mr. Bush regarding the Constitution. Is there any way to get a copy of that, exactly what he said? Website, etc.?
Yeah, Capitol Hill Blue is a publication that we're going off of here, and the author is Doug Thompson. The title of the article is The Rant, Bush on the Constitution. It's just a GD piece of paper. So type that into Google. I don't have the website right in front of me, but that's where we're getting it from.
Okay, and the other thing, ironically, I talked to some other people regarding what you were talking about when he asked these people questions on the news. Do you think these people are set up? As far as with the answers?
Are you talking about like when Rumsfeld or Condi Rice or somebody goes on the news? And
well, I'm regarding to the people that were asked about the conditions as far as going into another country.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that video.
Right.
I really don't think so. They were they were on the beach, or they were in a downtown section, or then there was a part of the video where they were out in front of the White House. It really didn't sound like it. If they were paid actors, and they were really good paid actors, and they fooled me. But I see this firsthand in my town too. So even if they were paid actors, I see it with my own eyes every day.
Because of all the mind control that's going on, you just wonder if that isn't a psyops for other people.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it was an Australian piece, and actually, I believe it was an Australian satire piece, and so they're making fun of the idiot American idea that's so prevalent in foreign countries, and it wasn't really targeted for an American audience. I got it off of a British site, propagandamatrix.com, and watched it off of there. So I don't think it was intended for an American audience, and I don't think it was a psyop.
I think what happens with a lot of legislators is I think they get put in compromising positions and situations. I think they go to parties. I think they might get a little too much alcohol in them. I think the enticement of the opposite sex might come into play, which might ruin their marriage. I think that's happened in the past. It could be happening now.
With the places like Bohemian Grove.
Yeah.
That place has been in existence, 130 years? Or?
Yeah, since the 1870s, I believe. So the elite and the people who play ball with the New World Order, they're compromised. You just look at Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's taken anabolic steroids. He's made racist comments. He's made statements saying that he admires Hitler. There you go. I mean, he's a completely compromised individual, and he's being positioned to be president of the United States in 2012. I don't think we want him with his steroid altered brain with his finger on the nuclear trigger, if you know what I mean.
And where does he come from?
Austria, exactly.
And that's another. And you just wonder what the mindset of people is when someone makes a comment like that, and they turn around. And being a set-up election or not, the guy gets into office, you know. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, well, three generations of Bushes in positions of prominence hasn't done as much good, has it?
But they make it look good as far as their argument goes, and then they go behind the curtain and turn around and laugh at us.
You know, the thing is, the separation of powers, you know, the judicial, the executive, and... what's the other one, Brett?
The legislative.
Legislative. Those three branches have been compromised to an executive order dictatorship, and certainly you can take it back to the war between the states. You can take it back to 1933, March 9th.
Yep.
And so we have this thing where the president and the people actually want to be ruled by a king. Most of the people actually want to be ruled by a king. And that's a sad commentary to make, but... I would like to be proven wrong about that, but most people want to be ruled by a benevolent dictator, and they want Bush to do something about it. The perfect example is Katrina and the resulting other hurricanes. Where's President Bush on this? Where's the government on this? Where's the help that's supposed to be there? And that's why it's so paramount to expose environmental modification, because I'm convinced all this was created to bring us to this position of servitude, and what happened? But Prince Charles goes down there to inspect his land, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
To see what how good the damage was and what's going to be created out of it, and the sustainable communities that would be built from it. So, you know, everything looks, as the days progress for me from the past, everything looks to be going like clockwork.
Here's a quote from former Defense Secretary William S. Cohen on the front of AmericanExpose.com. Others are engaging even in an eco-type of terrorism, whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. So there are plenty of ingenious minds out there that are at work finding ways in which they can wreak terror upon other nations. It's real, and that's the reason why we have to intensify our efforts, and that's why this is so important. Again, former Secretary of Defense William Cohen under the Bill Clinton administration. So for those of you out there who doubt that weather modification is real, we have somebody at the head of the DOD admitting it.
Exactly. And when you try to prove these points to people, they just give you an opinion and give you that, well, it's a conspiracy. Well, it's a fact. These are facts. These things are written down. And still, the people walk away. You know, you talk
frustrating.
About HAARP and things like that, and they just roll their eyes and think that, you know, it's difficult. I'm telling Chris, I mean, there's a man who's trying very hard to get this information on. I can't even imagine his frustration.
Yeah, you're right.
It does
there.
Get kind of frustrating.
All the work that you people do trying to get it out, it's difficult.
Well, I do have my relapses, and I just got over one. And it was a pretty traumatic experience. Each one gets a little more traumatic as things don't work properly. But I'm back, and I'm glad Brett's here. My whole goal is to build more talk show hosts, you know, build up more people to come on and talk about this, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, Dave. Absolutely. We've got to increase our numbers some way.
It's difficult, like I just was trying to explain it, to even to get people to talk about it.
Right.
I mean, it affects every one of us in every aspect of our life.
Yeah, and the television and the print media are the biggest complacent people in this, and certainly Time Magazine apparently is suffering big time, which is a good sign. Although the NFL Network is going big time as well, many people are concerned about their football team.
Oh well, absolutely. That, you know, they got to watch the stage and not the man behind the curtain. And how is the NFL connected with the UN?
Through the United Way. The United Way and the UN are partners. Every football game that you see on television has United Way commercials.
Constantly bombarded. I haven't watched TV for 3 years.
Yeah. Well, in a way that's good, and in a way that might be bad because you're not seeing the propaganda being put in place. But certainly,
so I get plenty on there if I want to just turn the dial there.
Certainly, the United Way is obviously a non-governmental organization of the UN, and every time you have a football game, you see United Way commercials on the television. When the Dallas Cowboys played, I believe it was Denver, Mariah Carey at the halftime had a presentation, and there was a big UnitedWay.com banner on the football field, covering the entire football field or a good portion of it. And that's where the NFL and the UN are connected, right there.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you for your call, Dave. I appreciate you.
Okay, and you have a good evening.
Thank you, sir. And so here we are with all this, Brett. Pentagon devising scenario for martial law in the U.S. by Patrick Martin from the World Socialist website. And he says, according to a report published Monday by the Washington Post, the Pentagon has developed its first ever war plans for operations within the continental United States, in which terrorist attacks would be used as the justification for imposing martial law on cities, regions, or the entire country. And there we have it, Brett.
Sounds like the good men in the black ski masks are going to come and save us, Chris. I'm so thankful to our benevolent government.
It says the front page article cites sources working at the headquarters of the military's Northern Command, located in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The plans themselves are classified, but, quote, officers who drafted the plans, end quote, gave details to Post reporter Bradley Graham, who was recently given a tour of NORTHCOM headquarters at Peterson Air Force Base. The article thus appears to be a deliberate leak conducted for the purpose of accustoming the American population to the prospect of military rule. So isn't that just amazing?
Well, there you go. That's not the America we were taught about in our history classes, is it?
No, it's not. And this doesn't, you know, there's no reason to think that this won't happen, you see. And for us to be hopefully talking to a lot of people, that would be our goal and design and direction. And that's why Dave's frustrated. That's why you and I are frustrated. And on the other side, we'll continue with this broadcast with Brett Folks, listeners. He's got his stuff together. He's a young man, 22 years old. And I'm very happy to be with him tonight. We'll be back. Stay with us.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Notice, FirstAmendmentRadio.com is looking for new talent. Do you have the gift of gab? Do you got what it takes? Are you ready to go up against Alex Limbaugh, Rush Jones? Are you funny, entertaining, as well as informative? Maybe you know a local talent whom the nation deserves to hear. Send us a sample or email a bio for a live tryout. The nation is waiting to hear a new voice. It may be yours. We'll let the audience decide. Email us today, talent@firstamendmentradio.com. talent@firstamendmentradio.com. FirstAmendmentRadio.com has made available a very low-cost satellite system special just for First Amendment Radio listeners. In conjunction with Rick Satellite, you can now receive a complete system including receiver, LNB, and small satellite dish, all for only $169 delivered to your door. Go to the FirstAmendmentRadio.com homepage and click on the satellite system link to order the First Amendment Radio Satellite System from Rick Satellite. Or, if you don't do internet, call Rick Satellite at 816-228-1801 and tell them you need the First Amendment Radio Satellite System. Go to our homepage to order or call Rick Satellite at 816-228-1801. First Amendment Radio receives no compensation for this service.
Tonight, I can see it in your eyes. You're believing all the lies. Oh, boy. And that's poker face people. Every time I listen to them, I hear a little bit more in their lyrics. And we need more like them. Brett I'm looking at this article, and it needs a lot of coverage where this martial law scenario has obviously been talked about already by the president, hasn't he?
Yeah, he didn't come out and write out and say we're going to impose martial law on every American citizen, but you know, with this fraudulent bird flu scare,
yeah,
that's got people so scared right now. He said he wants a respondent and ready military to respond to any disaster. But okay, first of all, we know the bird flu is a fraud, Chris. But if there really was a pandemic that was hitting, why would you want to be transporting people across the country in the form of soldiers? Because that's only going to spread a disease further. And so it's like I said, it's all a fraud to get us to accept martial law, to set precedents like they have set with Katrina, to set further precedents in the future in case of natural disasters or government staged terror attacks like Oklahoma City or September 11th. And we've got General Tommy Franks in Cigar Aficionado magazine in 2003 saying that after the next terror attack, we will suspend the Constitution and go to a military form of government. So this is an issue that needs a lot of coverage, like you said.
Well, it says here, the front page article cites sources working at the headquarters of the military's Northern Command, located in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The plans themselves are classified. According to Graham, this is Bradley Graham, the reporter from the Post, quote, the new plans provide for what several senior officers acknowledged as the likelihood, and this is a quote, that the military will have to take charge in some situations, especially when dealing with mass casualty attacks that could quickly overwhelm civilian resources, end quote. The Post account declares, quote, the war plans represent a historic shift for the Pentagon, which has been reluctant to become involved in domestic operations and is legally constrained from engaging in law enforcement, end quote. A total of 15 potential crisis scenarios are outlined, ranging from low end, which Graham describes as, quote, relatively modest crowd control missions, end quote, to high end, after as many as three simultaneous catastrophic mass casualty events, such as a nuclear, biological, or chemical weapons attack. In each case, the military would deploy a quick reaction force of as many as 3,000 troops per attack, i.e. 9,000 total in the worst-case scenario. More troops could be made available as needed. The Post quotes a statement by Admiral Timothy J. Keating, head of NORTHCOM, quote, in my estimation, in the event of a biological, a chemical, or nuclear attack in any of the 50 states, the Department of Defense is best positioned of the various eight federal agencies that would be involved to take the lead, end quote. The newspaper describes an unresolved debate among the military planners on how to integrate the new domestic mission with ongoing U.S. deployments in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other foreign conflicts. Isn't that interesting? One major document of over 1,000 pages, designated CON Plan 2002, provides a general overview of air, sea, and land operations in both a post-attack situation and for, quote, prevention and deterrence actions aimed at intercepting threats before they reach the United States, end quote. A second document, CON Plan 0500, details the 15 scenarios and the actions associated with them. The Post reports, quote, CON Plan 2002 has passed a review by the Pentagon's joint staff and is due to go soon to Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and top aides for further study and approval. The officer said CON Plan 0500 is still undergoing final drafting at NORTHCOM headquarters. While NORTHCOM was established only in October 2002, its headquarters staff at 640 is already larger than that of the Southern Command, which oversees U.S. military operations throughout Latin America and the Caribbean. About 1,400 National Guard troops have been formed with a dozen regional response units, while smaller quick reaction forces have been set up in each of the 50 states. And yet we have Mexican troops as a result of Katrina, Canadian troops, and we don't really know what happened to them. No publicity about that. Isn't that right, Brett?
Yeah, I've seen the president shaking hands with the Mexican troops. I mean, Mm-hmm. How nice is that, Chris? But yeah, it's not widely known. And I think that's for a reason. It's obviously to keep the American people in the dark about it. And, it's obviously to make sure that us worthless feeders out here aren't asking too many questions, if you know what I mean.
Sure. Sure. This says that the plans of NORTHCOM have their origins not in the terrible events of 9/11, but in long-standing concerns in corporate America. It's amazing how the other side is so right in so many respects about the political stability of the United States. This is a society increasingly polarized between the fabulously wealthy elite at the top and the vast majority of working people who face an increasingly difficult struggle to survive. And that's a result of the UN system, outsourcing of our jobs and industry, and certainly a lot of great products are coming from communist China now. And isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The nightmare of the American ruling class is the emergence of mass movement from below and challenges its political and economic domination. As long ago as 1984, when Osama bin Laden was still working hand-in-hand with the CIA in the anti-Soviet guerrilla war in Afghanistan, the Reagan administration was drawing up similar contingency plans for military rule. A Marine Corps officer detailed to the National Security Council drafted plans for Operation Rex 84, a headquarters exercise that simulated rounding up 300,000 Central American immigrants and likely political opponents of a U.S. invasion of Nicaragua or El Salvador and jailing them in mothballed military bases. This officer later became well known to the public as Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, the organizer of the illegal network to arm the Contra terrorists in Nicaragua and a principal figure in the Iran-Contra scandal. Isn't that just amazing?
Yeah, and we have Congressman Jack Brooks in 1986 before a joint congressional committee, I believe it was, actually questioning Colonel North, who's actually a Fox News correspondent now, actually questioning him on things he saw in Miami newspapers, saying that he was concerned that the existence of concentration camps on American soil was a violation of the American Constitution, which it absolutely is. I mean,
right.
There's absolutely no need for those. Yet we have a long history of concentration camps. Some of my ancestors were rounded up in the concentration camps, the Cherokee Trail of Tears from Alabama or Georgia to Oklahoma in the 1830s. And then, as we all well know, the concentration camp internment of Japanese Americans.
Yes.
But anyway, the head of that congressional committee absolutely silenced Jack Brooks and said that there was no way that they were going to let that line of questioning go on, that they can do it in executive session. So the American government has a vested interest in not letting these camps be known, and they're all over the place.
Yes, that's very, very true. And it's so amazing, the Second World War with the Japanese internment, such a setup, the buildup of Adolf Hitler. Prescott Bush was highly involved in that, and actually it was, and I don't have the paperwork anywhere handy that I know of, but I could probably find it, where the Japanese and the Germans signed a pact to fight the International Comintern, which was communism.
Yeah, the tripartite pact, yeah.
There it is. You got it too, huh?
Yep.
Oh, good for you. That's what I like to hear. So they were up against fighting communism, Germany and Japan, and who did we side with during the Second World War? Communists.
Well, yeah, we sided with the communists, and I mean, there could be a great debate about that, Chris. I mean, with the concentration camps in both Soviet Russia and Nazi Germany, so it's kind of the I guess our government tried to pick the lesser of two evils, but who killed more of his own people, Hitler or Stalin? I'm not saying Hitler was a good guy by any means, but Stalin killed 60 million of his own, and Mao Zedong ended up killing 60 million of his own.
That's correct, and certainly Joseph Stalin was the whole Soviet setup was a disaster in the makings, and that can go into another topic. But here we have the situation at us right now, with implementation of Agenda 21, international property code or property maintenance codes that are being set up for us now, everything's going international. As our jobs disappear below the border and overseas, more and more people are without work. And I'm just wondering, being that you're a college student, what is the prospect of jobs for you as students in any college at this time? What are the directions that you're going to pursue in the future?
Well, before I answer that question, let me just make an addendum to what I said. It's actually the Anti-Comintern Pact, not the tripartite agreement between Germany and Japan.
Good for you.
But the jobs that are available to me, the directions I'm taking, I'm already a published author, and so I'm going to definitely be pursuing that direction. I'm going to be looking at grad schools and seeing about getting a master's degree and possibly a PhD after that in the future. So that's what's open to me. But it depends on what area you go into. I'm in the history area, but if you're in the software engineering area, you might want to change your major, you know, because a lot of that's over in India now. There's not manufacturing jobs like I mentioned last Tuesday on the show. There was a time in America where you could just graduate high school and then go to work and get a great manufacturing job and be able to support your family, but that's not anymore. You've got to be very industrious to go anywhere nowadays without a sizable education, and you're going to be spending years and years paying that off.
Really funny to think about this. You know, Ford and GM and Chrysler, I guess it's the big three, they fought Tucker back in 1947, Preston Tucker. They didn't want him to produce his new car. And here we have Ford laying off thousands, GM just laying off thousands, and outsourcing to India for manufacturing of cars and trucks. So in a matter of a few years, there may not be another car made in America or truck.
That's a scary thought, but it's very... very real, you know, because we've got a lot of Asian manufacturers,
they're doing a superlative job.
What's that?
They're making good vehicles. The Motor Trend and Road and Track, they're all lauding the foreign cars.
Yeah.
They're better than the American cars, apparently.
Yeah, you've got, Chevrolet or GM about to get bought out is what a lot of people are saying. Hmm. And that's a big industry.
They'll probably be bought out by Honda.
Well, there you go. I mean, a lot of our manufacturing jobs have already been shifted over to China and Taiwan anyway, so why not send Detroit over that way too, huh?
Well, I remember when I was in the motorcycle business and worked at Colby Honda, and I said, boy, this is the wave of the future. I should never have left them, but I wouldn't be where I am now, so I guess I should have left them.
Yeah.
I would never have dreamed of being a talk show host had I stayed over there. It's a sad commentary to see what's happened to our country, to see how things have gone, and there's just a few of us that are having the courage to do the work, and Vicky's certainly one of them, you're certainly one of them, and a handful of others, and we just got to increase our numbers, and I appreciate Dave calling in. Very, very important that he did that. If anybody wants to call in, 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773. I rarely come up against controversy whenever I'm on the air. And you'll find it the same way with what you're doing, because everything that you do cannot be disputed.
There you go. None of this is my opinion. Everything I say is going off of documents or news sources or something. I back up everything I have to say. Chris, I know you do too. And that's what we have to do. You're right. We don't run up against a whole lot of controversy when we're on the air. I find that so many people agree with what I have to say, not because I'm smart or something like that, because I'm really not. It's just I've put in the work and I've done the research, and if others do the same thing, then we tend to agree.
Right. Absolutely. For people to get on the right page, they need to get the report on the Commission of Global Governance, our global neighborhood, from the UN system. They need to get that publication, and it's from Oxford University, published by them, and it was done in 1995, and the ISBN number is 0-19-827-998-1. I'll give that once again. If you get your pencils and paper handy, it's very, very important to have this, because this is the outline for totalitarian control in a peaceful world that will be decimated to bring about a peaceful world, to bring us to our knees one way or another, and it'll happen throughout the world. And they have the ability to do earthquakes, they have the ability to cause tornadoes to steer, they have the ability to make tsunamis. So that ISBN number is 0-19-827-998-1. 0-19-827-998-1. If you don't have that publication, it's very, very vital that you get it, because and then the complimentary book to that, it would be Joan Vion's United Nations Global Straitjacket. Without Joan Vion, we'd be a lot farther behind the learning curve without her work and her information. There's just a few of us out there, Brett, and it's so nice to have a young person like yourself so concerned to come on the air, to do this broadcast, and willing to do his own show. And that's basically why we'll be the week when you're available to do so.
Absolutely. Well, Chris, it's always my pleasure, and I enjoy throwing info bombs at the New World Order just as much as the next guy, so I enjoy it. But I wish I didn't have to do it. I wish we had our constitutional republic back, and I wish we didn't have to worry about international communism through the UN system and Agenda 21. But it's something we have to worry about, so everybody has to step up to the plate, get active, tell your friends, your family, strangers you meet at the grocery store about this program, about others, and just wake as many people up as you can, because that's the only way we're going to win this.
You know, this thing's being crammed down our throats. This whole thing's been crammed down our parents' throats,
yeah,
and crammed down our grandparents' throats. But in the 1950s, the McCarthy situation, Joseph McCarthy was correct in just about everything he did. It's history has proven him right, but yet they vilify him to this very, very day. There is a situation that we had an opportunity in the 1950s to make a difference. Well, now we're in 2005. It's almost like climbing Mount Everest in bare feet in the middle of winter. It's just about like that now, but with other people getting involved, doing their best, and increasing the numbers by setting an example like what you've done, and bringing their information to the plate on the airwaves, and finding the sponsors to come on and build up this network at First Amendment Radio. That is the vital thing to do at this stage. And the more that get involved, the easier it is for everybody to get involved. And, you know, there it is. Pentagon devising scenarios for martial law in the U.S. Here we are right now in this scenario, and are we a few days away from this? Are we a few weeks away from this? We don't even know, do we? But it could be tomorrow.
That's right. General Kevin Burns, actually, the first time I ever talked to you, Chris, I called into your show, and I was concerned about General Kevin Burns, because he exposed a nuke terror drill over in Virginia, I believe it was. Or no, it was Charleston, South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And then he just disappeared. And I was concerned about the man's well-being. And then what do we have? Yet again, we have another nuke terror drill. And just like on 9/11, where the CIA was running drills, the exact same thing happening at the exact same time. When the New World Order carries out a terrorist attack, they always run a drill. So this is another thing we have to keep vigilant on, and we have to expose it as much as we can. But this, you're right, martial law. We're not trying to scare people. We're just trying to get information out, and
yeah.
This is something that is very real. You know, I would encourage everyone to get proficient in firearms and just learn how to shoot a gun, because
yep.
if for no other reason, it's gonna help you survive when the time comes, because you're gonna be able to defend yourself, you're gonna be able to hunt, and just fathers need to take their kids out and teach them how to fish, teach them how to be self-sufficient, and because these skills are going to become necessary. It's my concerted belief that those skills are going to become necessary in my lifetime at least, and everybody's going to need them. So once again, I would just say everybody, a great gun to get first is a .22 rifle. It just sounds like a firecracker when it's going off.
Mm-hmm.
And learn how to use that, and then you can move up from there. But this is the situation we're facing, and we got to stand up for our country, and we got to stand up for the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and the direction that our founding fathers set us on.
By all means, it's vital to know how to use a weapon and to use it professionally. And certainly, it's never publicized how many guns are used in defense of someone's freedom.
7 million a year.
Half a million a year, is that right?
Seven. 4 to 7 million per year.
Is that right?
4,000 a day, yeah. Gunowners.org.
Uh-huh. Good for you. Well, I'm so impressed with your knowledge and your research. Very good. There it is. So here we are with the prospect of gun control always in place because of State Department Publication 7277 from 1961, implemented by public laws in the U.S. Code today. And now we're dealing with the Biodefense and Pandemic Vaccine and Drug Development Act of 2005, S-1873, where 18 senators supported Frist's avian flu vaccine bill. Where's this going to take us? We're going to be forced to take the shot one way or the other. And what is going to be in that shot? There is the crux of the situation. All these different scenarios being presented at us today, and yet martial law is on the horizon. People are involved in their televisions, and they're not paying attention, and the greatest brainwashing device is the television. And your ability to connect these dots is very, very vital, and as we progress through the weeks, you'll be with me each week, I presume, correct?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, and then Nicholas can give you your own show if he wants, and it'll be a great example for other young people of your age to do that. You could be a real standout person for our country, and I know you don't want to be that way, but somebody has to do it.
Well, that's a realization I've come to. It's just I don't see enough people standing up, so it's something that's got to be done. And the founding fathers were 4% at first, but they got this country, and we're going to get this country, and that's what I believe.
Thank you, Brett.
Thank you, Chris.
We'll be in touch, my friend.
Absolutely.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's it tonight, listeners. Great co-host, wouldn't you say? Brett Folks. We'll be back tomorrow night. God bless you all.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty.